It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
All right, ladies, it's time to dig into the book of 1 John. We've been doing a lot of introduction, and so today we're actually going to start the process of digging into the book and into these chapters and seeing what all of these tests are that John has laid out for us. So for today's lesson, I've entitled it Test 1, Genuine Fellowship, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to go ahead and read that for us. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. So right off, we hear a lot of things about the word and the life and the fellowship. And so we're going to get into that as far as what is this first test, meaning genuine fellowship. The text is showing us the validity of who Christ was. And remember, there were false teachers that were rampant at this time. Like we mentioned in the introduction, there was a lot of Gnosticism in that day, and they claimed to believe in Christ, but they denied his true nature and deity. Therefore, they were denying Christ, essentially. I mean, you can't claim these things about Christ in the wrong way and have those actually be lining up to a true believer. So if you are denying his true nature and deity, you're ultimately denying who Christ is. So that's what was going on in the time that John was writing this. And it's kind of critical to remember that from the introductory lessons to where all of that false teaching was so prevalent in John's day. And that's what he was seeing, kind of like in our day. We have a lot of that going on right now. So again, this book is so appropriate. And John is telling us from the beginning of the gospel basically being preached, nothing has changed about who Christ is. He is the same. Nothing about who Jesus is has ever changed. So the gospel is the same as well. We don't just sit there and take out things out of the gospel or take out things of who it says Christ actually is in the text and who he was in order to make that more palatable, which a lot of false teachers do. And one, for example, is Rob Bell. He's been very, very popular in the culture, but he has stripped away teachings that Christ actually taught about the teachings of hell, about who Christ was. He poses a lot of questions in there, things like that. So John would be speaking to someone like a Rob Bell who has taken out all of these things about the true nature and deity of Christ and the things that Christ spoke about. So that's just a good example to keep in mind, that whenever someone is denying true deity, true truths of the scripture, that is a cause for concern. John was so intimately acquainted with Jesus that the phrases in that text that I just read, what we have heard, seen, and touched, refer to the time spent with Jesus. John is telling the readers, look, I was with him. I know this man. This was the real deal. This is not just something made up. I saw it all happen, and I knew this man, Jesus, was the Messiah. I mean, keep that in mind. John was there. John studied from Christ. He was in that inner circle, and he knew who Christ was. He watched all of this go down. I mean, this isn't something that's up for debate. Think about the relationships that you have with people that you know very, very well. Maybe your parents or your children or your spouse, you know this person very, very intimately. You know what their likes and dislikes are. You know their character and nature. You know their mannerisms. And you can even hear something that they might have said and affirm that, yes, this is true of who that person is. That sounds exactly like their character of something they'd say. The same was true of John and his relationship with Christ. He knew Jesus, and he knew him very well, and he believed everything that he taught because it was truth. So he's contrasting this with the false teachers who never knew Jesus. These false teachers during that day, they didn't know Christ. yet they were going about teaching some of the things that Jesus might have said and then putting their own spin on it and then totally changing the message of Christ ultimately. Do we not see that going on in today's society with all of the false teaching, the word of faith movement? Just a little bit of truth going on there mixed with a whole lot of error, and you have a complete different gospel. That's what was going on there. So in verse 3, let me just reiterate that again, where he says, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So we're seeing the first test just come alive right here. The test of genuine fellowship is not talking about social gatherings, but rather being in fellowship with, like how John was, and having eternal life such as he has. So being in fellowship with other believers, being in fellowship under that umbrella of the gospel and Christ and having repented and trusted in the Lord for our salvation. That's what this is talking about. Not just a little social get together and having, you know, fellowship. We think of that word fellowship as, you know, a dinner or a meal and a get together, maybe a little party of sorts where we're all just fellowshipping. And that is great. You know, that's what we should be doing. But that's not what this test is specifically talking about. It's talking about fellowship being equated with salvation and having the proper view of Christ is what constitutes all of it. So if you believe that Christ is truly who he said he was in all respects, then that is one test of a true believer. And take comfort in that. You know, I mean, if you look at scripture and you agree with what all is being said there, that's a great sign that you are a believer. You're not trying to distort or change any of the teachings of Jesus or about who his character and nature and deity was. So you take all of it. You take his birth, being born of a virgin. You take his earthly ministry of miracles and teaching as literal. You take his death upon a cross as a propitiation for our sins once and for all as literal, and that it really did happen. And his resurrection 3 days later as truth. You don't start adding in your own commentary to these things that are in the text about who Jesus is. And I'm going to give you a really great example of that. It's much like we see about that miniseries AD and other movies out there like it, the Noah and all of that. They totally change up the entire Bible and put their own spin on it, put their own version of who they think Jesus was and who they want Jesus to be. You don't get to do that, folks. You don't get to do that. That's not up to us. We have to take scripture for what it is. So you believe the word of God for just that. It's infallible, it's truthful, and the claims that it makes is true. So by affirming a proper view of Christ as a believer, this is our first test to see if we line up. If, however, we want to put things in the Bible that don't match his word, then we've not passed this test. Even by putting in things such as purgatory into the Bible, we've failed the test because Jesus said once and for all, it is finished when he was on the cross. So when you add into that a false view of what happens to a person after death, you've failed the test. There is no purgatory. Purgatory is not found in the Bible. So you can't put that in there and claim to know Christ because you are changing his word. It is appointed once for man to die and then the judgment, he says. So keep those things in mind. We can't put in our own ideas of what we think happens in the afterlife or in other areas of what the Bible has already spoken on and given us a final authority. So in verse 4, at the very end there, it says, "These things we write so that our joy may be made complete." And John is writing this so that we can have joy. And if we know who Jesus is, and we have a right understanding of his nature and character and a right understanding of the gospel, it produces joy in a believer. It just happens. You know how that is. Whenever you are walking in line with what Christ says and what his commands are, and you understand the Bible and it's coming alive to you, and you agree with what is being said there in the text, it produces a joy in your heart. And what it gives you fellowship with Christ about eternal life. So it's a circle. It produces joy. So it all goes hand in hand. If we have fellowship, genuine fellowship with Christ about what it says of who he is and what his nature is and what salvation really means, that produces joy in us and so on. And I want to ask you, do you have that joy today? Do you know the gospel? The correct gospel? That Jesus came to earth, he took on a body, lived a sinless life, one that you can never do. He died on a cross for all your sin as a legal transaction between the Father and Son, so that you can be seen as righteous by God, not by your own merit, but through Christ's righteousness. Isn't that wonderful just to think about that? And that you also believe that he was buried and he rose again 3 days later, defeating death and the grave for your sins. Have you repented of your sins and asked Jesus to forgive you? If you haven't, I implore you today to be reconciled to God. I want you to read through this text and test yourself to see if you have genuine fellowship with Christ today. It's very, very important. Don't let this day pass by if you aren't sure if you're in the faith. And if this test, you've looked at it and maybe you don't quite line up, go to the Lord and ask him to reveal this to you and repent of any sins that you might have today. You can find this lesson under the Bible study tab on naomistable.com, lesson 5, test 1, genuine fellowship.